You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I forgot to put the music in. Joining me from Texas, Michael Musselman. What's going on, man? What are you doing?
You had one job, man. One job. You blew that out the door.
Out the door. Out the door. You cleaned it up, too. I'm impressed already. Nice.
Yeah. One job.
One job. One job. I'll fix it next time. In fact, I'm writing myself a note.
That's what Lance Corporal, I would expect the Lance Corporal to say. Sure. It won't happen again. I'll fix it next time.
It won't happen again.
You're right. You know why? Because there's going to be no next time for you, Lance Corporal.
No, you'd give me another chance because I'm a motivator. I'm a hard worker, right? I would get your humor because you know,
the world is full to capacity of people with motivator, good humor.
Doers. Yeah, but if I got your humor, if you made jokes and I laughed at them, you'd say, McNamara, that kid's smart. Because I do smart. I do smart guy humor.
Get ready.
You give everybody a chance. I've seen it. So don't. Come on.
I gave you a chance. And you squandered.
You gave me a task, not a chance. A chance is after I screw it up and forget to do
that's
it.
That's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Take one. That. And ask people,
chance.
Live with me. How many chances do you give?
Ask the people that live with you. Well, if they didn't get a chance, they wouldn't be around, would they?
No, they get.
Thank you.
But other mortals.
So I fall into that category?
Other mere mortals.
Okay, are you, let me ask you the question. Are you watching?
I say that, but at work.
Other mere mortals.
This is how you mortals live. People, the young Marines will look at me like,
what?
I'm a mortal.
Marines love that stuff, though, right? Your comedy show that you have going on in the midst of chewing somebody's ass, everybody else laughing. Marines love that stuff. That guy's funny. And it is, come on.
Yeah.
The only time it doesn't happen when you're legitimately pissed and then you don't really want to be around for that. When you're just chewing somebody's ass, that's some funny stuff.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, but when you're legitimately pissed, nobody wants to be around for that.
Right.
That's a different set. No humor. So are you watching the hearing today?
No.
You know what? If anyone would have asked me, hey, is the gunner going to watch the hearing today? I would say no.
I would bet your life on it. No.
I would, and they would say, why? And I would say, well, I would say anybody who watches it is going to come away from it absolutely rip shit about it.
Yeah.
And
you're going to see how stupid our government really is again.
Right.
And we don't need a reminder. That's the problem. That's what makes me mad. We don't need a reminder that our government, the people that we put in power, are idiots. No, I mean, and I say that saying I'm sorry to all idiots in the world.
Yeah, it's an insult to every idiot out there.
Yeah. I mean, what word can we use that would show my distrust and my hatred and my, for these people?
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with political parties. This has everything to do with getting to the truth.
Stop it. Don't say that.
No. Politicians, people, whenever a politician says the word truth, he doesn't mean it like you and I. He doesn't know what that word means, much less get to the bottom of it.
Well, okay, I want to ask, because I had a little debate with myself earlier in the program. So you've seen the oh, by the way, this is for your as you go around and live your life. There's a link on the read board of All Marine Radio to the Elizabeth Smart movie. So I talked to our friend from Granbury yesterday. And had a conversation with her. I asked her if she's ever watched it, And she said she hadn't. I said, watch it. I said, Mike introduced me to it. And so I sent her a link, and then I put the link on the read board. So if you've never seen the Elizabeth Smart movie, watch it. It's great. She's great. And the things she says are great. So anyhow, I was thinking earlier. So this is what we're watching, if you're watching it, you're seeing our cutthroat political agendas, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then you're seeing that wrapped around a very polarizing issue, which is, one, who's going to control the Supreme Court? On top of that, right, you're going to layer on the whole Me Too issue of sexual assault and how it's treated in the country. And the people that are up there are senators. They don't give a shit about the truth. Okay, the truth is a coat that they put on when it's convenient and then cast aside when it's not convenient. So it's not about the truth. Okay, and then you have a media that is doing the Jerry Springer thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, they have been salivating for the last...
Look at the headline.
Oh, my God.
There's one right now. Why Kavanaugh needs to leave now.
Right. Right.
Don't embarrass this country. I'm like, what the? Because of over a high school incident at a party, now she's saying she was drunk and she doesn't really remember. And it wasn't sexual assault. It was like harassment. He said something maybe to her. I would have said, you fat, ugly cow.
Whoa. So, you know, it's interesting. So you live in a house with two women. I have two daughters.
Yeah.
I have two daughters. So
don't remind me.
How is Henrietta? So I got into an interesting discussion with my daughter, Catherine, who's 26, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be 26. So she said, "Well, Dad, you know." She's come forward, and exactly. So I think a girl's perspective would be, right?
That she's brave.
Right.
Independent.
Right. And I said, you know,
that's what the Me Too movement was supposed to be.
Right.
Was supposed to be.
Right. I said, okay, Catherine, so let me ask you this. I got all that, right? And I know it's a problem. I know it's a problem in domestic violence. I mean, shit, Mike, our friend from Granbury, right? Was raped, and what percentage of rapes go unreported as hers did for 20 plus years?
Yeah.
And the answer is a lot. 90% of domestic violence victims do not come forward. Elder abuse, which I've been learning about, you know, 1 in 14 cases nationally gets reported, okay? That's less than like 8%. So somebody comes forward, okay, now. Somebody else now is going to be convicted. In the United States, you're innocent until proven guilty. So
not in Congress.
Right. So not in the media either. I said so.
Not in the media. So, you are guilty.
I said so. Where does Me Too meet, you know, the scale of justice? Does the accusation eliminate me? Did somebody accuse me of something and I say, hey, that shit didn't happen? Where does it? And it's not an easy, but you got to prove it. You got to file a police report. You got to prove it in the United States anyway. And so I said, it's not easy. I said, look, I'll tell you what, Harvey Weinstein with all these charges, his defense is going to be, I never raped anybody. If they didn't want to have sex with me, all they had to do is get up and walk out. The reason we had sex, if they didn't want to have sex, which is new.
They wanted the job.
They were using me to get a better job. And that's rape? I don't think so.
Yeah.
That stuff has been going on in Hollywood and any industry where there's men and women and people think that they can use sex for their own advantage. And a lot of times it's mutual. Somebody's getting a better job. Somebody's having sex. Whose decision was that? It's not rape. Call it what you want. And I said, that's going to be his. So what do you say to that? And she said, well, if the women didn't want it, then why did they do it? Why didn't they file rape charges then? Well, they would be out of work. Okay, I got that. Why didn't they say no? because they wanted a better job. Okay, is that rape? I said, look, I get it that it's hard, but, you know, just saying, accusing somebody isn't enough. And then you're going to say, well, she's going to get drugged through the streets. She's got to prove her case, though. Mm-hmm. She's got to prove her case. So, I don't know. So that's the spectacle that's ongoing today. All of that swirling together and the truth not really mattering. That's the most, in my opinion, that's the most disturbing part. So here's the substantive question for you. Did the truth ever matter, Mike?
No.
The truth's never mattered.
Truth doesn't, you know, I hate when people, the truth. The truth is what matters. No, it doesn't.
And it never
has. Don't lie. You know, be a man, stand up, or be a person there on PC. Be a person and stand up and tell, it doesn't really matter. Because it doesn't. In the world we live in today, it means nothing. The truth means absolutely nothing.
So the truth is a component of an argument, and if I can juice that up and get it on TV, and I know that I have all this stuff against you, that's the only way the truth matters. Other than that, if I can, for instance, and somebody wrote me an email earlier that said, look, Secretary Mabus, right, crushed the Marine Corps' ground integration study before it came out. Right? So that data represented the only study that was done. He killed it for political reasons. What was the truth in all that? It didn't matter. That's the answer. It didn't matter. Because the truth is there's prominent female senators on the Senate Armed Service Committee that will annihilate the Commandant of the Marine Corps in public for all of this if you don't get on board. That's the truth. And so the truth didn't matter. So
truth never matters.
I don't know that I don't know that it never matters.
You know, the whole, we can't handle the truth, right? Doesn't he get in the whole argument? It's not a matter of the truth. It's what you can prove in a court of law.
Right. Which is something different.
Yeah. If I could sway a jury, if I could sway people and completely, I don't have to have any truth at all. If I could just make them believe that my story's true, hey. And that's what the media does.
Well,
media
believes,
right. Makes everybody believe everybody's true. It's like, so I'm reading an article last night that I was really kind of fascinated about. And I'm trying to find it now, and I can't. But it was talking about why
go to your history
do
file.
They show like, if you look at the pictures of this Blasey Ford, right?
Right.
The picture of her that they use on the media is of her on vacation, background, long, pretty hair, sunglasses, and not her picture of, like, what she looks like today. Because she does not look like that picture. The picture is probably about 20 years ago. You know, she was younger. Taller, you know, she had a big smile on. But why did they use that picture? And so they had a couple other things where they're talking about.
Why do
other
they?
Cases like this high publicity case?
Why do they use that picture?
Because it's what you perceive as the person. You look at this and you see this pretty blonde woman out gallivanting, having fun, open spirit, everything else. And then the man next to her. They don't show him with sunglasses on a trip, smiling. They show him in some kind of studious, masculine position, you know, that's dominating. And so your eyes, your mind, the bias and prejudice that play on you, you look at this two pictures together and immediately you have empathy for the woman because you're like, man, look at this guy. He looks like a jackass.
Right.
Looks like he would do this. And look at this pretty little girl. She's all having fun with her friends. What's up with this? How does this happen? So it's, and there's people that actually do this, man, that sit in these and put this stuff together because they want you to understand, you know, it's like marketing. It's like, commercials,
right.
You know, it's a target audience. They know where you're going to look. They know what kind of thoughts most people are going to have. And so they can generate that just by an image. So they always show, if it's a woman, like all the Cosby, you know, thinking of Bill Cosby just got convicted, but all the Cosby ones, or any kind of situation where, you know, it's man versus woman or woman versus man, where they want to highlight the woman or the man and take the spotlight off the others. It's the way they put the images up, because they're searching. You know, they go through, give me a photograph of this. And so they go on her Facebook page.
But wait a minute, I thought if you, so what you're telling me is the presentation of the news, what we would call news, is now so corrupt that.
Yeah, once you, immediately, it's going after your known prejudice and your bias, so you can draw a conclusion just by the headline and the picture.
So what I ought to do is I ought to go get two current pictures of them, except that doesn't fit the narrative. That doesn't fit the story I want to tell.
No, because if you look at the picture, you look at the picture and you see a woman that's not that one in the picture, and you're like, well, how can that happen? Who would sexually abuse this chick? That's what your bias and your prejudice bring up. Like, this girl's not attractive. This wouldn't happen. This has got to be a lie. And I know people are probably going, what? Just because based on beauty? No, no, no. This is that whole, we have prejudice and bias built into us. We know what these are. And I'm not hiding mine. I know what mine are. I can live with mine. You know? It's like the monsters under my bed. Yes, I know there's monsters under my bed. I just named them and give them jobs to do. So.
What do you name them? They have names.
Oh, just.
Larry?
Just Nick. No, like pet names.
I like
so,
that.
So, yeah, literally, Mo.
Jump.
Early. Jump and early. But, so that's what they don't, they don't want to have these big bug-eye glasses on her that make her eyes look twice as big as, you know, that's sitting on her head and
right.
All the big wrinkles and the three chins that are underneath her, you know.
Right.
Because that's not,
because
you're not going to look at her and feel sorry for her because she's, you know. That's the marketing end. So that's why they do these things. Because they could have easily got the same picture, and if you look at her picture, because she's a professor at a university,
right.
Her picture off of the official page off the university is not as good to her as this blurry... Barbados, whatever.
Yeah, I'd never seen a picture of her until earlier today.
Well, that's the picture they showed of her gallivanting 20 years ago, really young, dark sunglasses, long curly hair, or long straight hair. But they don't want her as the professor page or, you know, like the now page because they're not going to have the same reaction from people. People are not going to lean towards it and go, God. They're going to go next page, you know, like, bullshit, and move on. Now CBS has got this on, and people are like, first look, and then you're in, you're hooked.
So if nobody's concerned about the truth.
Right. Well, we are. I mean, when I say no one that really matters. No one, like our policymakers, are people. The people that run this country. The people that have the most money. You know, a guy making $50 million a year, does he care about the truth?
No.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. He wants to manufacture it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, absolutely. That's because that gets him $60 million a year.
Exactly.
That turns his 51-foot sailboat into a 61-foot sailboat. And why do you got to have a 61 foot when you got 51? Are you stupid? Bigger's better, man. But yeah.
So the truth is now we used to have like Walter Cronkite guys who would.
Walter turned out to be a non-truthful guy too, though, right? In the beginning, he believed.
Yeah.
But then towards the latter part of his career. Walter was not always the straight up and up guy that we always thought.
No, he
manufactured the truth as well.
Well, he certainly allowed, as a reporter, he certainly allowed, you know, in his reporting on the Vietnam War, you know, the famous newscast where I want to say he takes off his glasses or and says that the Vietnam War is not winnable. After we, it was after Tet when we had absolutely annihilated. I mean, the 1972 Easter Offensive is how long it took the NVA to rebuild their formations. The Viet Cong never get reconstituted. I know that because the reading about the bridge at Dong Ha and Colonel Ripley and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that, but out of that, the military piece, not so much. But today it's downright, I think there's very few people who you even look at. You know, I will raise the volume on a newscast when I see Britt Hume comes on occasion. Britt Hume is a guy who tells the truth, pretty plain spoken, tells the truth. Brett Baer, I think, does the same thing. He replaced Hume, and I think is very much in his mold. And he's not afraid to look at people and say, well, wait a minute, hold on. Other than that, what I see from both Fox and CNN, MSNBC, is they are tools for political parties and cater to very to the left and right. And if you have a brain and you're somewhere in the middle and you see validity to different arguments and you're trying to ferret out the truth, where do you go for that?
Yeah.
You can't go to NPR because they're way left. So it's just, and again, I think that we both, I know I experienced it when you watch the reporting from Iraq, you know, when we were, early in the war, 2004, you're like, this is not even the issue, man. This is not even the issue. And it's just, and you're like, wow, how did the American people figure this shit out if they read the crap that these people write? Because it's not close to the truth. So, I don't know. It's pretty disturbing, though. A nation that's supposed to be about truth, justice, and the American way, that was Superman's motto, isn't close to the truth. I don't know.
No. And again, when you look at the details of this, you know, she was 15, he was 17. He pinned her to a bed at a party and covered her mouth. But she can't remember because she now there's a drinking thing that involved because she was drinking. She was under, you know, the influence. And it's like, okay, all those years go by. You become a professor. Why now?
Oh, to prevent him from becoming a Supreme Court justice.
Well, and then you start looking at, okay, and people say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, then it does matter that she's a registered Democrat, that she's not only just a registered Democrat, she doesn't vote. She takes part. I mean, she's active in this whole process in the state.
That's the motive? Because he's been confirmed, what, six times?
So why didn't she come forward when he was like a judge of a Supreme Court of, you know, the lower court? That's a pretty powerful, you know.
Oh, no. I saw somebody got asked that, and their response was, you know, well, the FBI has investigated him on six different occasions for different confirmation hearings. Nothing. Crickets. And now, and again, if you follow the path of this thing, right, they had the letter in July. They did not introduce it. I mean, so this is part of Democratic strategy to derail his nomination. Right. They don't introduce the letter, which, again, if it's about the truth, hand this to the investigators. Let's research it. But it's not about the truth. It's about political gamesmanship and derailing his nomination and then delaying the confirmation hearings until after the election. Hopefully the Senate switches hands and then the president not going to get his guy in. That's the game that's being played with this. So again, here's a question. So was it ever, did you see the movie Lincoln?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it ever any different, or has it always been this case, and we're just rubes that believe in this whole truth, justice, and the American way?
It's always been this case, and it's just very simple back then.
I'm a rube. I hate that. No,
I never believed. I mean, I think even way back, like Jefferson and Washington, it was the same way. Just different motives. You know, it's never been this way. No president has ever, you know, you think about, well, that was a good president. No, he's just good at lying to you. He's just better than everybody else.
Come on, man. He's just good at lying? Is that, that's the game? And you know what, but again, you know,
yes, that is the game.
The selective use of the truth when it suits your political ends is the game. And that is the game. And I guess...
And I don't have a problem with that because I accept that. I understand that that is the game. I understand it. I'm moving past it.
So it's a game it's a game of leverage, and the truth is a component of it.
Yeah.
It's certainly not what we're after.
Right.
How sad.
It's like if I was a Muslim quarterback in the NFL and the football is really made out of pig, would I throw the ball? Sure damn well I would. I'm okay with that. You know why? I'm making $110 million a year.
Yeah.
I can let that one go.
Can I wear a glove?
No. Can let that one go.
Can I wear
$110 million a year? Yeah, I'll let that one slide. That's all it takes, man, is money, power, and people's – and I say not everybody. This is not everybody. But – you know, when you ask a friend, it's always funny, like, would you do this for $1 million? And they're always like, no. Well, the difference is there's not a real $1 million sitting on the table. So you don't know what you would do. Here's $1 million in cash. And you look at this big pile of money and you're like, it's yours. All you got to do is lie or do this. Would you sacrifice your those kind of morals and virtues? Don't know. I hope not. I'm hoping I'm faced with that. Yeah. That I can hold true. But shit. I've never looked at $1 million in stacks that could be mine within a second on a decision. Right? Never been in that situation.
We were putting luggage up in the shed out behind our house in North Dakota, and Patrick looks at me and says, I can't get it up there. And I looked at him and I said, I bet you if I had a stack of money that amounted to $1 million, or if I put my 45 in your mouth, you'd get that son of a bitch up there. And he looked at me.
Yeah, there's two types of motivation.
Yeah, why has it got to be like that? And I said, get that shit up there right now, or I'm going to knock your ass out. Oh, it worked. What happened?
Right.
He said, you're brutal. I said, no, that's just a fact, though, right? If I did one of those two things, if I put $1 million here and said, hey, it's yours, just get that piece of luggage up there, you'd do it. Or if I grabbed you by the hair and I got a pistol, and he said, stop, you're scaring me, right? And I stuck it in your mouth and told you I was going to blow the back of your head off. If you didn't do it, you think you'd do it? He said, stop. I would have a nightmare tonight.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah, sure you would.
Right.
Two different levels of leadership motivation, but very effective, each one.
Funny.
But this whole, again, and the world we live in is not interested in the truth. It never has been. It never will be.
No, you know what? I disagree with you. It's interested in the truth to the extent that it conforms to its agenda. When it doesn't conform to its agenda, it assassinates the truth, and that is the way the truth works. That's the Ray Mavis lesson. And you could find a gazillion of those lessons. Here's the truth. Here's a study that's going to come out and say that, you know, Mike Musselman is this side of the other thing, or what Mike Musselman advocates is this side of the other thing. What does Mike Musselman do if he's smart? He calls a press conference before the study ever hits, and he talks about the flawed nature of this corrupt study that's about to be publicized. And I want to take to task the guy who spawned it, because we all know this. That's the game right there. That is the game.
Yeah.
And it's all about who's going to be in charge, who's going to control the money, who's going to have the power. That's what the game's about. And it, relative to national politics, it is not. It is burn it down. Burn it down. If you haven't seen the movie Lincoln, what they do to pass the amendment to repeal slavery, they buy votes, they blackmail people. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not pretty.
It is not. The underbelly of democracy. Gross. So I feel bad that I'm a rube. I don't like that.
Oh, I've never
that.
Been a rube when it comes to that, man.
I don't like that. I know it, but I believe that the truth is important, that you ought to do the right thing. Right?
It is. And, you know, I say this, it is. You know, and I tell people, or people that, you know, live with me, it is. It is important. And they look at me and they're like, okay, can we go past that, though? Because really, it doesn't really matter. But it is. Can we go past that? It really isn't. You get what I'm saying? And it wasn't until working in Washington that I really got to see that firsthand. And that was, like I tell people, I said, that's where my Marine Corps career took a different turn. I realized then, because I got to actually go and see the Wizard of Oz. And I'm looking at Oz, and I hear a little commotion going on, and he's this beautiful thing that I've always imagined being. And then I hear a little commotion on the side, and I go over there, and I go down there, and I open up this little partition, and I look back, and at the hands of the great, incredible Oz, really controlling them, behind the platform in this little dark little thing controlling this great institution is a little one-eyed, one-armed, ugly troll that smells, I mean, he's got a hump on his back. I mean, it's a hideous sight. And he's controlling the great, wonderful Oz. And then it was like, oh, shit. All of this is a facade. Because the real thing that's going on is this ugly, hideous, smelly, this is it. All right. And you know what? It changed. Because you know what I said to myself at that point?
What? Okay, first of all, what were you doing in D.C.?
I was doing, like, acquisitions and appropriations.
Oh, so that's when you were in the heart of the beast. You were in the belly of the whale.
Yeah. So at that point, you know what I said to myself?
What?
I'm okay with this. I'm okay with living like this. This is okay. I mean, I'm a little upset. I'll get over it, though. I'm a little upset that I was told that it's this beautiful Wizard of Oz thing, and it really isn't. It's this hideous, ugly, nasty, smelly, dirty, just despicable little man or person or whatever running the show. But I'm okay with this. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go be his best buddy. And so you learn to manipulate the system, and like I said, that was – I mean, I didn't feel good about it. I mean, I was fighting more battles with civilians, people in clothes, in uniform, than I was with the enemy, than I ever did with the enemy. About money, about this, everybody, you know, and then you run across people that have their own personal agenda. You're like, well, and so I was not for that. I was against that institution. You know, so I what I didn't do is I didn't cross the line. I didn't step over to the other side and become one of those guys that was going to grease the skids for my retirement and then land myself a nice, big, high six-figure job just being some kind of futuristic product design team lead, you know?
You know how much money you could be making now?
Oh, dude, I turned down a lot of money.
How much? Tell people how much money you if you worked in that industry about what you'd be making.
I was off. It was close to $237,000 a year. Yeah. And, you know, because if I did that, oh my God.
What kind of shower do you have to take at night?
Oh, you know, you become those guys.
Right.
And it's so nasty.
But could you, $250,000?
Yeah, that's.
That's
with all of the incentives and everything else.
Let me just tell you, Mike, with your expertise, your combat experiences, and blah blah blah, you easily make $250,000. You know, signing on with the right company that's doing something significant, they'll pay you to walk up there and to testify and to cajole the people that you know. Blah blah blah. You want to know why? Because there's billions at stake in these programs.
Yeah, $250,000 is
chump change.
Yeah, and these contracts, when they're billions of dollars at stake, $250,000 is like, what?
What?
All right, whatever.
You know what we're going to leverage him into? And we need that. His experience is...
Yeah. Because then you become that guy. And I'm not saying, if someone's listening and they're doing that job and they're like, well, I'm not that liar. You're okay.
You might be.
I didn't want to be that guy because that's what they're asking me to be.
You might be.
You might be. You just don't know it.
Yeah, you might be. I don't want to make you feel bad.
Yeah.
But you might be.
Call me, ask me, and tell me what you do, and I will tell you if you are that guy. And most of the time, it's probably going to be like, you are that guy.
Let me tell you, if you're in that business, you're that guy.
And I'm not saying that's bad. Good for you. I just couldn't do it. And so, like I said, I almost got in trouble with... You know, I almost got in trouble with the congressional law, because I tried without going into details about it, I looked at a way legally to alter the outcome of a situation, because the people that were going to get this, were not the right people. So, but it didn't work. It worked out in my favor anyway without looking into it. But it was just, you see that the law is there to protect the people that break the law too, which was insane.
Not in America.
So, yeah, the laws that were there and the things that were in position were to protect people that were lying to the American public. As far as contracting, the money being spent, people ask the $300 toilet lid seats. Yes, yes, absolutely. And $300, you're getting away cheap. Government employees, government contracts, because there's money there, man. No one wants to fix that because everybody's making money off of that contract.
You know what I think is funny? As you're talking, right, I'm looking at a picture that I can use for the for the post for what I'm going to write, right, about what we talk about. Mm-hmm. And so there's a time cover that says, "Is truth dead?" And what the story is Donald Trump plays fast and loose with the truth. Okay.
He's the only one.
Okay, so yeah, exactly. So I'm looking at that thinking, you know what he's done is he's taken your game and he's taken
and he's
shoved it up your ass and you don't like it. He didn't invent that. But you know what he's good at? He knows how to use it. And people hate him for it. But it's the game that our media has invented. It's a game our politicians love. So if you want to play that game, spin. Never, you know, Bill Clinton was great at it too. You know, admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. Just keep going. Next event, right. Next event, next event, next event. Remember when, what's the girl that recorded stuff in the White House? What's her name? The girl that was on his TV show. Omarosa.
On whose TV show?
Omarosa. Right? Right. Nobody even, like, who? Omarosa what? Like, who was she? Like, that was a big deal a month ago, right? Yesterday's news. And he's the champion of it. Right? And you know, he blew up the UN this week, right? Calling out Iraq, calling out North Korea, calls out China for they're already interfering with our elections, right? Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to spend money targeting farmers in Iowa, right? So that they can, you know, so that's Chinese money doing that. Okay, so he calls them out for it, right? Now, he was supposed to meet with Rod Rosenstein today, but he canceled that. And then this event, this Kavanaugh confirmation event's going on today. This is all the way, this is all our system. And he's, but I thought it's funny. Is truth dead? Right? Well, if it is.
Truth never was a lie.
Yeah. If it's dead, Trump didn't kill it.
He's, oh God, no.
He traffics in it.
Well, truth was not killed by Trump.
Right. No.
Truth, by the time Trump got president, truth was a fossilized remain.
Right.
You know, that you can put up on display. At one time, a long time ago, maybe it resided.
Well, you know
and
they,
really,
they get,
you look
Mike,
at mankind.
Think about this, though, Mike. But, you know.
It resided in one guy that I can know, tell you, one guy that ever lived was probably truth. And he was crucified. Almost 2,000 years ago. And then ever since then, it's just been dying a slow death. And then it's been gone for a long time.
William Randolph Hearst, right?
Well, there's a truthful guy.
Right. He leveraged the main blowing up, evidently by some kind of combustion event in its coal room, right?
Killing,
ship.
Yeah, innocent U.S. sailors
right.
to get money.
Right.
Make money.
Right. He leveraged that into a war against Spain.
Right.
What? Yeah. And it turns out, like, it was all bullshit. So has it ever been about the truth? Has our media always been like this?
Yeah. I mean, I would be – it would never surprise me. It never surprises me, like, next year they come out and say, we have found records that show – that we did know about the attack on Pearl Harbor and we chose not to do anything about it because we needed that to launch ourselves into the war. Because you look at the United States after World War II, boom, superpower. Before World War II, we were just another schmo living on this planet. You know, 1946, we are running the show, baby. There's a lot.
No, you hear that.
A lot at stake there.
You hear that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You hear that theory that Roosevelt knew it was coming. He didn't think that the Navy and the Army would get caught, like, completely asleep at Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, there would be a good fight.
Yeah, that there would be a fight, and we would, you know, we would get our nose bloodied, but we'd do well. You hear that, and you're like, whoa.
No, and conspiracy people are always like, oh, you're crazy, drinking. No.
Never, ever
pass up the opportunity to question. When it comes to power and money, oh, my God, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely.
So any time where they know they can get absolute power. I mean, just imagine.
The truth.
I mean, I've never experienced absolute power. You know,
I don't agree with that.
No, I mean,
that's the way you roll. If you don't run
it. No, not like, I'm talking about, like, the power to make people just lie. Destroy them. You know, completely just do whatever you want to do. Control the outcome of anything. That's absolute power. And people don't understand. That's what some people up on our highest points of government, they have that capability.
Yeah, if you don't question it, if you don't look at it and say, Now, to me, where most of these things fall apart when you do begin to question them is Look, you can't get most people. It's like, okay, there's this vast conspiracy. Look, you try to put a conspiracy together, somebody will run their mouth. Okay?
Right.
And it also has to do is look at any kind of like criminal enterprise that happens in the Marine Corps, right? They're trying to do something, and then somebody notices something, and then somebody starts to look, and then people start singing, okay?
Right.
It's too hard to do. So the whole that's all my theory when it comes to these kind of things. Like, okay, look, if more than one person's involved in it, not going to turn out well. Okay, not going to turn out well. Now, I'm not going to say that it's impossible. Pretty difficult, though. Pretty difficult, right? With the exception of where the hell is Jimmy Hoffa?
The government.
Yeah.
Exception for the government. If you are in that position, you know, you're in. But
yeah, the truth. So it's an interesting. So we talk about it, but then when you look at it in American history, you're saying,
yeah,
not so much. What about the truth about we knew supposedly about the German concentration camps in 1943? Didn't say anything about it.
Well, you know, that's the sad thing about that. My daughter asked that.
Without a doubt, we knew about it. Nobody said a word.
My daughter asked. We were after the movie that Operation Finale.
Oh, right.
So we're on our way home, and she's kind of choked up about it. She says, how come, Dad, how come in the movie they say where he's captured, and he says, come on now, you knew that we tried to help some of you Jews, but no country wanted you. And so she looked at me and she says, is that true, Dad? And I said, yeah. He said, countries knew that was going on. Prior to the end of the war, and there were people that were trying to get the German Jews out of the country, but no country wanted them. And she started to cry. I mean, she couldn't talk for a while because that feeling when that first hits you, are you kidding me? I mean, it should hit you with almost bring tears to your eyes when you think about that.
Yeah, so that
because that still reminds you that you're human.
That became a political event.
Yeah, people's lives. What? 6 million people were a political event.
Yeah.
6 million people. Can you imagine what 6 million people look like?
No, you can't.
The generations that are gone forever. The things that could have been discovered will forever be lost.
Yeah. What number? I mean, I've I saw the math on that.
I mean,
I saw the math on the
it's
number
sickening.
For instance, abortions since Roe versus Wade, estimated over 36 million in the United States. That's six times the number of the Holocaust. And then there was an estimate of, you know, those 36 million people, how many kids would they have had, and the effect of abortion just on in terms of life in the United States. And it's staggering. It's staggering, the numbers. When you look at the numbers, you're like, holy shit. And then you get to the discussion. It's like, okay, look, I don't know legally that I don't believe in abortion. I think it's wrong. Should I be able to tell a woman what she should do with her body? I don't think I should be able to. I think it's her body. But I think that we owe everybody education. And look, if you have an abortion, you have to live with that. I mean, we talk about the things that you live with in life. Trust me, you want to add to the list of traumatic events, add abortion to that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, my daughter, she asked me about that, too, one day. We were talking about it. And she said, what's your viewpoint on it, Dad? This is a while ago, maybe 2 years ago. And I said, I'm not going to tell you. She said, why? And I said, because I don't want to sit and have an argument with my daughter. And she goes, no, Dad, I'm not going to argue. So I told her, I said, I think it's, you know... that it's murder. She went, what? And so when we talked about it, and I made her watch a video.
Ooh.
And it wasn't, you know, it's animated, but it shows how they go about and do that. Again, right. She started to tear up, and then she put the thing down. She said, I can't watch that. And I said, okay. But now you understand what that means. I mean, now you have an understanding. Instead of it's one thing to talk about it, do this, and I get it. You know, I really do. And I'm not a woman. I don't understand. But I understand that you believe what you want, and that's fine. But you got to live with it.
Right.
But if you don't live with it, understanding what the consequences are,
right,
then you're lying to yourself.
Right.
Living in a lie.
And then, and let me tell you, and then when you
that's where I have a problem.
When you discover the truth later, that all the people that told you, hey, this is your right, and nobody can tell you what to do with your body, and blah, blah, they didn't tell you the other half of it, which was, okay, let me tell you the downside of it, though. This is going to be a traumatic event for you, right? This pregnancy is going to go away, but you are never, ever going to be able to get the thought that there was a baby that you have that is not going to, and that was your decision. And the mental health side of it is something that when you see women interviewed that talk about this, it's heartbreaking that say, I wish I would have had the baby and given it up to somebody, but at the time, that's not what anybody told me, and I regret it so much. And you read that stuff, and you're like, holy shit. You're like,
well, what? And so she asked me, she said, but Dad, what about, you know, babies that are born out of incest or rape? And I said, she goes, I don't know if I could ever look at that baby knowing that that baby came from this, right? This traumatic incident.
Right.
And I said, I didn't raise you to be so shallow of a person. She looked at me and I said, if you were to look at that child's eyes and that's all you saw, then you are a fucked up person. If that's all you saw on the surface was this child came from that, then I feel sorry for your soul. Because if you don't see the beauty in the child and the life that you gave and the opportunity you have to bring and rear this child into this world and make a great thing out of this, and you don't see that first, well, then I screwed up as the father. And man, it's just like,
whoa, shit.
Yeah. So she came back to me, you know, she's going through this stuff in college right now.
Right.
She came back to me the other day, a couple weeks ago, and she said, Dad, we had a debate, and I found myself, she goes, I am no longer pro-choice.
Whoa.
She goes, I just can't get there. I can't defend that position anymore. When I was defending it in school, I told some of the other girls, I said, because they didn't do the research to find the truth. They just believe what they hear. They don't look into it. My point of this is always find the truth. It's out there somewhere. It does exist in these little things. It just doesn't exist in humans. The truth behind this or this agenda. There is, what is the actual truth behind it? Don't listen to someone say on the TV says, you know, child doesn't feel any pain. Or we didn't even look at it as a child. But yet, if the mother is murdered and she was pregnant, in some states you can get charged with, you know, two homicides. But, of an unborn fetus. But, yet we can take the life of an unborn fetus and it's not murder. Huh? How does that work? You know? It only suits you when it suits you.
Well, again, that's what we're talking about, the selective use of
the selective truth.
Of the truth when it furthers my argument that I want to win and I get more power. It's interesting issue. Catherine's 25, and so we were talking about that. She said, so what would you tell Colleen or I if we were raped or wanted to get an abortion? I said, first of all, it would crush me that you would want to do that.
Yeah.
So you have a life inside of you, and that life is going to pay for somebody else's mistake with their life, the death sentence. I said, look, there's all kinds of ways you can have the baby and give it up if you don't think that you're in a position to raise it well. You can have the baby and you can make something great out of something that didn't start very good, you know, and you could do that, you know, and we would fully support you. To think that you would destroy, make some beautiful little
creature, beautiful life that never got an opportunity.
That you would do that, I said, I said, I can't.
You're upset. You're hate.
Yeah.
But I said, you're hating this thing?
I can't. I can't
get there. So this is, yeah, I can't get behind it.
I can't get there. And I said, so, you know, to me, if the question is, what do you think you can do? And if you think that if you don't think you could do that, then, you know, have the baby and give it up. And the rest of your life, you can say, you know what, it was an unfortunate incident. And maybe someday you'll want to meet your son or daughter, because it's not going away. It's not going away. And that the path down that road is a horrible path. Don't do it. So it's come up at different times, and it's been a very, very interesting discussion. Let me read you this story, because it made me think of you. Billionaire owner of the LA Times calls social media the cancer of our time. But he made a comment about how people consume news. The short attention span. Now, this guy's a surgeon. Okay, his name is Patrick Soon-Shiong. I think he's Korean. He's advocating now for change in how people consume news. Social platforms may have revolutionized how people get information, but they've also been criticized for spreading fake news. Quote, the short attention span we're creating in this millennium is actually very dangerous, he said. It's the unintended consequence of social media. And then he said, people cannot differentiate between fake news, real news, and opinion news on Facebook. They believe it's all news, and the attention span that is now estimated at less than 20 seconds for one of these stories, he said, is the cancer of our time. Our point about all you have to do is go to the comment section of anything, right? And you'll see the case further for mass extinction. So.
Oh, yeah.
And now
he said that? He said mass extinction?
He did not say mass extinction. I linked it to mass extinction. Most people would probably not take it there. But when I read it, I laughed.
Social media, Google, and everything else is going to be the downfall of our society.
Well, you know, at some point it has to be regulated and reined in. I don't know how you do that with news, but we're raising a, you know, and, you know, here's an example of the truth and what we're talking about here today. Marine Corps Times has a headline, and let's see, the number one headline
turned into a shit magazine.
The number one headline in the early bird today, number one story. Now it's competing with VA study on suicide just came out. For young veterans, suicide rate increased between 2015 and 2016, 10% between the ages of 18 and 34. That's a big story, okay?
Yeah.
Number one story is Mattis defends remarks on women in the infantry. He's at VMI, okay, and listen to this, Mike. Buried, all right, this is not the story, but this is a second story with this headline. Here's Mattis's full response to VMI cadet on women in the infantry. So here's the question that got asked. Sir, first off, I'd like to say, pardon my language, but there are a lot of badass women here, some more physically fit than I am, some smarter than I am, but I remember I was doing some research on the Marine Corps experiment. If females in combat arms make us more combat effective, I would just like to hear your thoughts on that. Mattis's response. A very, very tough issue, because it goes from some people's perspective of what kind of society you want. You know, in the event of trouble, you're sleeping at night in your family home. You're the dad, mom, whatever, and you hear glass break downstairs. Who grabs a baseball bat and gets between the kid's door and whoever broke in? And who reaches for the phone to call 911? In other words, it goes to the almost primitive need of a society to look out for its most vulnerable. This is an issue right now we have in the Army, Navy, Marines, all looking at it as we speak. And that is close quarters fighting. Being what it is, you know, it is a strength. Is it a strength or a weakness to have women in that circumstance? Right now, what my job is to make certain that the Chief of Staff of the Army or the Commandant of the Marine Corps, CNO, bring problems to me, the Chief of Staff of the Air Force. Then I help them solve those problems. To date, because so few women have signed up along these lines, we don't even have data at this time that I can answer your question, okay? You make a very valid question, I might add, because I was never under the illusion of what my level of respect my Marines would have for me if I couldn't run as fast as they could. Right. How they would look at me if I couldn't do as many pull-ups as they did. How it would bother me. It was the unfairness of the infantry. How did the infantry get its name? Infant soldiers, young soldiers, very young soldiers. They're cocky. They're rambunctious. They're necessarily macho. And it's the most primitive, I would say, even evil environment. You can't even explain it. And he goes on to talk about Oliver Wendell Holmes, and then he ends like this. This is an area we are going to have to resolve as a nation. And the military has got to have officers who look at this with a great deal of objectivity and at the same time remember our natural inclination to have this open to all. We cannot do something that militarily doesn't make sense. And I've got this being looked at right now by the Chief of Staff of the Army, the Commandant of the Marine Corps. This is a policy that I inherited. And so far, the cadre is so small, we have no data on it. We're hoping to get data soon. There are a few stalwart young ladies who are charging into this, but there's too few of them. I mean, right now, it's not even dozens. It's that few. So when we get a little more data, I'll give you a much more objective answer. Clearly, the jury is out. But what we are trying to do is to give it every opportunity to succeed if it can. The other nations that have done this for 20 years still have too few women in the infantry ranks to even draw a conclusion. So I can't give you a good answer right now. I'm open to it. I'll be working with the Chief of Staff of the Army and others to sort it out. That was reduced. That was reduced in the early bird yesterday to Mattis questions the role of women in the infantry.
Yeah, where?
Right?
I know.
That thorough, thoughtful, and complete answer got reduced to that.
And I would have fired, as an editor, I would have fired that guy. Because there's nowhere in that story do you draw a conclusion of what his headline was. It's not what he said, but it's what he said. It doesn't matter because that's what you look at. That's what you see.
It's all the stuff
that's
we're talking
the conclusion about. You're going to draw, even if you read it. So you get these people that, again, these idiots by nature that read that article and you're like, okay, so where does it say that in the article? Well, it does kind of say it, sort of, maybe, right about here. And then you're like, no, that's not what he said.
If you cherry pick it.
Yeah, if you take every other third word.
Yeah, if you cherry pick it and you block his what he said before that and what he said after that, if you eliminate that, then you could probably justify that headline. But again, remember, the truth isn't important. It is that we got X number of clicks on that. We know Mattis is a polarizing figure. We know Mattis and that issue are both going to get us a lot of clicks. Boom. Not only did we've got, this is the fourth story that's come out of it. It is the initial story. It is him defending it. I guess the third story. And then it is the complete context of his remarks. That's the third story. And
right.
And wait till somebody comments on it and we'll run that. So we'll probably get a dozen stories out of this bullshit headline that we ran. It's awesome. You know what that did to our numbers? It got them back. We're like now 5% above last month. Boom. Well done, boys and girls. Nice going.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, man.
All right. What else you got going on today?
Oh, nothing. Hey, did you see, I saw this article today, and here's another reason. It's like, what? You guys, you heartless son of bitches. They turn on their own real quick. It says, Bill Cosby to get his first cup of Jell-O in jail today.
Whoa.
Yeah. They turn quick, man.
Yeah, I was talking about that yesterday. I don't know if you remember this, Mike, but he did a bit that I know, because you remember the Columbia Record Club?
Oh, yeah. I did that when I was a kid.
Right. Until they keep sending you albums you don't want, and you're like, what is this? And your mom looks at you.
99 cents.
Yeah, your mom looks at you like, you're stupid. Yeah, but I got 12 albums for 12 bucks. It was awesome. Yeah, now they're digging it out of your ass. He did a routine called Spanish Fly. And I remembered, I don't know, and it had to do with giving women a drug that would make them want to have sex. In 1969, he included that in his stand-up comedy routine.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby. Mr. Huxtable. Cliff. I'd say it's sad, but what was sad is that those women, he did that. I mean, and we're talking about, what, close to 60 women that came out? And so it's like the math with Jeremiah Workman's Navy Cross. If they killed 25 members of the Moose,
there's 100.
There's 100 there, because they don't roll unless they outnumber you like 10 to 1, right? And that's the math that you do. And so how many more women who would never come forward and have to go through that in their life are out there that the Bill Cosby drugged so they could have sex with him? What an idiot. Like, Bill Cosby had to drug people to have sex with him anyway. That's the stupid part. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Although I don't get it. Anyway. Yeah. Thanks for this in-depth conversation on making my day like, oh, God.
No. You know what it, you know what it is? So, I think it puts truth in context. We talk about the truth. Look, unless you're one of those people that can stand in the middle and take on both sides and say to conservatives, you know what, that's not true. Wait a minute. And you could say to liberals, no, that's not true. Unless you want to be in the gray area and constantly fighting that, then you embrace one or the other. And to me, it's what I've always hated about Rush Limbaugh, right? If you can't admit that Bill Clinton was a great politician, then you're an idiot.
Yeah, he was.
He was
fantastic.
Yeah, he was a fantastic politician. If you can't admit that, then go away, right? Go away. I don't have any time for you. There's no difference between you and your propaganda than the Germans. The only difference is what you stand for. How can you compare me to the Germans?
Well, that's the whole, people that talk about George Bush Sr., you know, and I say that he was probably one of the greatest presidents we've had in a long time. And people look at me like, what? Are you insane? I'm like, yeah. Because what he displayed in moral courage, no other president, not even Reagan, did at that level. And they look at me again like, what? I said, you don't remember his thing was no new taxes. That's what sunk his campaign. But Clinton beat him.
Yeah, then he raised taxes. And you had
but then he raised taxes. But you know why he raised taxes? Because he had to. Because the country
needed it.
Was going to fail if he didn't. The whole organization. We were all going to suffer. So he decided he was going to take it on the chin, and he did. He raised taxes, and then everybody came in and said, read my lips, no new taxes. It was a joke. And he lost. But and ultimately, he was found and vindicated him. But no, it never made the news because not the truth we're looking for. So that's a sad thing. Yeah. Oh, great.
No, I think that to me. So when people talk about the truth, you know, your question should be, okay, whose truth are you talking about? Are you talking about the Democratic truth, the Republican truth, or are you one of those few people that'll stand there and try to study an issue and come up with what's factually correct?
Right.
And
regardless of whatever.
Yeah, regardless of where it goes. Wherever it takes you, that you're willing to do that.
Are you that guy?
Yeah, are you that guy?
And everybody's going to tell you they're that guy.
Right.
But again, actions speak louder than words. Most people are not that guy.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. Because they're drinking one form of Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
What do you want?
One. Yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
I'll have water. Oh, you don't want
Kool-Aid? I have no dog in the fight. I am that guy.
Yeah, I don't. If you, I've always, I used to rip Rush Limbaugh. Matt, do you listen to Rush?
Yeah.
Do you listen to Rush Limbaugh?
No, you die on the air.
I don't. No, I don't. Oh, yeah, I'm a. What do they call that? What do they call people that listen to?
I don't know.
The EIB, I said, no, I can't. Like, how you can listen to that every day? Like, oh, my, I don't know how people do it. Same thing with Sean Hannity. Like,
he's good in doses.
Oh, I can't listen to him, though. You know, look, conservative, yes. But it's like, oh, my God, like, let it breathe, you know? Let it breathe.
Yeah,
if it's just the talking points,
too.
God
I
almighty.
Can't listen to Anderson.
No. Well, I agree with you. I can't listen to it's like, that's why the whole McNeil Lear thing, smart people discussing the news, not screaming and yelling, they're articulate, they may not agree.
Yeah.
Well, I like Mike and I will do this. Mike will say, yeah, I disagree with that. And then by the time we argue about it, it's like, I see it in a nuanced way this way, and he sees it in a nuanced way that way.
Right.
But we don't fundamentally contradict like, that's true, no, it's not. And that's
and I have come full, you know, we've both done this where we start on an opposite end issue and then we come to like
oh.
And sometimes we have flipped.
Right.
So I defended an issue that you were an advocate about, and then next thing you know, after we talked about it, I become the, you know, your
right.
role, and you became my role.
Right. So and so to me, that's what the nation needs, articulate discourse. And there's nothing more interesting than smart people sitting down and talking about problems and how do we solve them and what does it actually get down to, and that's what I love, and that's why I my shows aren't idealistic they're not ideologically driven. I try to make it that the show's rooted in truth, no matter where the truth goes. And I have my own conservative biases and whatnot, but I'm not afraid, like Mike said, I'm not afraid to admit that. But, you know, when we can't talk about the facts being the facts and the truth being the truth, no matter where it leads, and you know what's interesting is the people that listen love that. I love that you guys argue about complicated issues, talk about the truth, and aren't afraid to say, that's bullshit. I don't care who said that. That's bullshit. So,
yeah.
Anyway. All right.
All right, man.
I'll talk to you.
Yep. Bye.
Did you have it? Le Gunner. The truth. Interesting concept. Interesting concept. So are we getting after the truth today, or are we just playing reindeer games? I vote for reindeer games. Sad, 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 sad. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you missed the program, you're gonna hear more about the truth here momentarily, because that's what the first hour is about. Yeah. The truth and the spectacle you'll see that's sponsored by today's media. Where's the truth in all of it? So you'll hear about that. And then Grant Newsham joins us in the second hour. Grant is in someplace in, he said the name of it, Ukraine, Poland, Slovenia. Yeah, he's someplace in there, going to his ancestral home for a wedding. A village of about, he said, 8 people. He's related to 4 of them, or something like that. So you hear about that, and a discussion about why should we have another summit with North Korea? What have they done to earn that? What have they done? So we'll talk about that with Grant. And then we'll talk about the truth with Mike. The truth. Was it ever important? Yeah, that's a scary thought. But that's my conclusion. It's never been important. It's a coat, as somebody emailed earlier, it's a coat that you put on when it's convenient to further your agenda that gets you more power. If the truth doesn't correspond to your vision, you assassinate it, you cast it aside, and you fashion something else. Truth is not always your friend. And this committee's not out for the truth. Okay? They're each about furthering their own political agenda. The truth, not so much. But it's a great show, right? So you have two competing political agendas. You have who's going to control and whose ideology controls the Supreme Court for the next 50 years, or at least 30. And then on top of that, you have the Me Too issue and a nation divided over how it ought to be run. TV people can't wait. Awesome stuff. Have a great Thursday. All Marine Radio, over and...